the theme for the afternoon talk is the dancer and the dance. It is rather necessary and important for us as human beings to explore and investigate our relationship to the three fields of time, namely past, present, and future. And sometimes, as we've been doing here together, we've looked into our past, or it seems our past has been forced upon us into the present, and we're finding ourselves having to attend to things, either willingly, cooperatively, determinedly, but with resistance, with struggle, with pain and anguish. And how the feeling, the sense of I, can very easily and all too quickly place itself in the role of being a painful effect or result of the past. And we become the victim, a victim. And the only way we can continue to feel to be the victim is by feeling sorry for ourselves. And the feeling sorry for oneself sustains, constructs, and keeps going the idea of I am a victim. It could be of what another or others or circumstances have done to us, or, as I was mentioning a day or two ago, what we have done and have felt so much regret or remorse about. So our self becomes something or someone, becomes the victim. And others, sometimes out of a muddled or confused kindness, help us to feel sorry for ourselves, and therefore help us in a whole variety of ways to support our identity, to support this construction of the self in this position. And as the feelings feed into the identity, it seems not only who we really are, but it also seems, and rather painfully and distressingly, that there's no way out. One can't undo the past. One is the end result of what was. Another person may regard himself or herself as a survivor, and in this kind of identity, it may not be particularly that there has been any great dramas, but one has had an identity in life of wishing to be safe. If I don't take any risks, if I don't accept any challenges, if I keep to what's known and familiar and comfortable, and keep within that and to that, then I'll survive. I'll get through today. I'll get through this present period in my life. And our attention can turn back to the past and say, well, this is how I've got through things. by keeping to the familiar and the known and trying to be as secure as possible. So the construction of our life, what we do, what we feel, what we think, what we say, and all of our activities are then supported by the role of the survivor, just wanting to get through today as well and as comfortably enough, and tomorrow and next week. And we sometimes have forgotten the impact and the strength that takes place when, in the background of much of our behavior, much of our personality, is based on the single view and position about ourselves. We may be one of those people who regard ourselves as a doer. And as the doer, we'll give perhaps a lot of thought, not so much to the past, not so much to the present moment, but to the future. And we'll set ourselves a whole variety of goals, a whole list of things that we want to do and are doing. And we place ourselves with this identity with a view to achieving as many aims and as many ambitions as we possibly can. And so our self, the self, within ourselves, has this as a primary intention and motivation. So it becomes the formative structure. It becomes the determinant of what we do with our life. And you and I, we can listen to this, and perhaps within ourselves, we can say and see and experience a little bit of all three. It could be at times that when one of them is problematic and we can't attend to it, we'll deal with the other. We'll emphasize the other. I don't want to be a survivor, so I'll try and do more. I don't want to just be doing all the time. I'll look at my past and what that was all about. And all of this is that inner life. It's not somebody else's life, it's our life. And we say, my goodness, here I am living in this world, and there is so much which is going on inside of me, and my view of this world is being shaped by myself, by my whole idea of this is who I am. And if we take any one of those, it kind of concerns us about how little choice there seems to be. But also, and perhaps more importantly, it's like how life gets pushed along by the events. When the self is in this position, I will have to have the sense or the belief of the other. I have to have the duality. I have been hurt, therefore there's something other, others, or inside myself, something other which has hurt me. I am a survivor, therefore there has been circumstances around me which I want to survive in. I need something other to keep the identity. I am a doer. I need the cooperation in some way or others to help me keep on doing. So I have my sense of myself and other in a construction. I live in this construction, and I am convinced this is the true reality, because I feel it, because I think it, and most of all because I believe it. And anything else seems to be not real, unimaginable, outside of that world that I live in. Sometimes with the dance, and in this case the dance of life, it is not so much problematic in the ways I just described, but actually it's something absorbing. And yesterday evening, in the inquiry that we had yesterday evening, we explored just a little this phenomena of dancing, in the everyday use of the language here, and the arising of the self, of the identity, in connection with the dancing. Sometimes, as we explored, the dancer, I am dancing, the dancer, the I am, is totally absorbed in the event. One isn't thinking about it, one isn't trying to impress other people, one isn't trying to do it right, one is just in the absorption, this is a key word here, in the absorption of the dance. One is one with the dance. And in that absorption with the dance, or with the surfer on the wave of the Mediterranean, or with the absorption in deep meditation, or the absorption of in deep creativity, in the oneness of lovemaking, in those moments there is the absence of the self and the other. There is the whole movement, and we are wonderfully, beautifully harmonized with it, called dancing, called surfing on the water, called deep absorbed meditation, called absorption into creativity, called the union of lovemaking, or whatever. And in that, it's energizing, there's a sweetness about it, a vitality about it, and it would seem in the time there isn't a duality. There isn't the dancer and the dance. There is just the dancing that's taking place. There's just the creating that's taking place. The absorption into, of course, is temporary. It's supported by the wave for the surfer. It's supported by the flow of energy in delightful acts of creativity. There's the flow of the hand with the painting. And if someone comes to the painter, comes to the one who is painting, and touches her or him on the shoulder, there is the breaking of the absorption. And so the painting which is going on has stopped, and the duality is back. And the duality is the painting, as the what's on the canvas, and the painter. And then one talks to the person, whatever. And then one goes back. And then once again, one is absorbed in the painting, in which it's just movement and flow. There is no painter. The painter arises when the separation is revealed. The painter, the surfer, the lover, the creator, the meditator, then arises, but what arises with the self is what the history is. What the history is. There's absorption, there's a separation. What's the history? And the self will then be supported by the history. It may say, that's a lovely piece of work I did. It's supported in the moment by a positive view, born of one's conditioning, or what may arise in the view and the opinion which arise, and may say, it's not right, it's never good enough, I'm a poor painter, I'm a lousy lover, I'm a useless meditator, or whatever. So if we find the movement of our life going from the absorption, the separation, the self arising, and the view and opinion about. The absorption, the separation, the arising, and the view and opinion about. And we say to ourselves, and we say to each other, that's what life is. That's how it is. When the self has its view and opinion about, it has the other. The other was this painting that I did, this deep communication with this other person that I had, this experience that I had. And the self gives us the idea that we are a kind of detached observer giving an objective, independent, free-willed, free-choice view about what is taking place. Understand? It's like we get the idea that the self is outside of the story. And we give a commentary on the event, as if the self is outside of the mind, as if it's somewhere else looking down and say, oh, I'm good at doing that, I'm bad at doing that, I did that very well, I didn't do that very well, I could do it better, I didn't do it good enough. As though the self is an independent, clear, objective, unattached, disconnected, uninfluenced by the event. It is the event. The self is the event. And if we find our life of the self moving into absorption and out of it. Some of you may listen and say, I've never had any absorption. I've never been creative in my whole existence. Never had a deep meditation, never made love, or whatever. Perhaps one might say, well, at least you've all had some sleep. At least that. When we come to the end of the day and we put our head down on our pillow, which for many is far more popular than putting their backside on their pillow, but in putting our head down on our pillow, what is the greatest wish in the time? The greatest wish in the time at the end of the day is to put our head down on the pillow, to be absorbed in deep sleep so that the self is completely gone. The whole world, everything that we have heard, smelt, tasted, touched, everything that we've thought about, past and future, the happy one, the suffering one, the doer, the fearer, whatever, or the whole construction which we have established, we just would like to be over. So we can be completely absorbed in deep sleep. So that when we wake up in the morning, and then the self is reborn into the new day, the self may arise with the view and opinion about the absorption into the sleep, and it may say, God, I had a really good sleep last night, despite all those dirty sinks. Or whatever. And so the self arises, the view appears, and the view is about the experience, being absorbed in deep sleep. So this becomes our world. This becomes our construction. And then we say, is this it? Is that it? Are you and I going to settle for that? Or are we going to see whether the self and what it's absorbed in, or the self and what it's thinking about and viewing? Well, you see, that construction is a useful, helpful, relative, conventional way of experiencing the world, but one has a little doubt whether it's true reality. And as Buddhist brothers and sisters have said, over 2,500 years or more of questioning this, a little doubt, a little awakening. A middling doubt, a middle awakening. Great doubt, great awakening. So we allow ourselves to experience this, and we say, my gosh, the world appears to be the duality of the self involved in objects, that the self involved in issues, of the self involved in what is constructed. We are here, you and I together. We've been here now for how many lifetimes? And we say, here, in this time that we're here together, is an event with likes and dislikes, approvals and disapprovals, and all the views and interpretations that go on, born of the conditioning with regard to this as the event. Let me say to ourselves, what holds the events together? And we could say, well, you and I cooperating together and respectful for the silence and the meditations, it holds the event together. And certainly it's a contributing factor. But what actually holds it together as well is everything outside of the event. All that's not immediately here in the present moment holds this which is here together. So this is called the event, called the retreat, called the Sangha meeting together, however we might call it, is supported by and isn't separate from everything else that's not here. all that which is out there, so to speak, holds all this together. Otherwise, we would live in a complete vacuum of everything else. Let me say, what is... If this is constructed together, which we innate, and the word we use is called the retreat, the event, all this is constructed together. What's truth? What's going to make a real difference to our existence? What's going to give us the taste of non-duality? What is to be revealed in the dance? Sometimes, with truth, we've actually just borrowed words. We say the truth is, and then we go to our tradition or our philosophy or our political view or our conditioning or our past or whatever, and we say this is the truth. But not in these teachings. Not never. Can it be? Truth, in its authenticness, has power to it. That's why it's truth. So here's the event. And here's the event of myself. And some of the, as I said earlier, the event of myself could be, amongst the many descriptions, called the victim, called the survivor, called the successful doer, and many other ones that you and I may attribute to ourselves. And there's something problematic about it. Constantly doing. How could that be a free and happy life? Doing, compulsively doing, we're becoming, as I've often said, human doings, human running afters, human clingings, etc. Truth, satya is the word in Sanskrit, is that which transforms. It's not a set of words second hand which you and I have learned, memorized from some others or whatever. That when something happens to the human being and it shifts something, it really changes something, it really wakes us up, it really takes the power of the, out of this trapped self in the box of the constructed, and something really touches that and shakes that and opens up, in that moment truth has touched us. It can't be just words. So one person can say something to another. The words carry across from heart to speech to the ears to the heart to the being. If in the communication, as one small example, and in the listening, it touches deeply and it helps us to be more clear about the duality called self and other, and we don't feel so imprisoned in it, then truth is touched. Only truth liberates. Nothing else will do it. Sometimes, not only as it were outwardly, but also and equally important, inwardly. We're just passing through the day. Hopefully being as receptive to the event, whatever it is, this one here or elsewhere. And sometimes from within, something shines through us, it comes through, and we really see clearly. We really see something so clearly. And it has a very beneficial influence on us. In that moment, truth is touched. And the mind doesn't know where it came from. The soul can't think it out. How did that clarity suddenly come to me? How did that realization something suddenly come to me? How did that truth suddenly wake me up? It could be in a book. It could be the wind blowing through the leaves. It could be in a sentence, in a Dharma talk. It could be just from a single thought that arises. And we don't know, and we can't explain as human beings why we can hear the same thing, read the same thing, meditate in the same way, be out in the nature, and in the same conditions, truth touches and helps to wake us up and brighten our life and open our life, and we can place ourselves in exactly the same conditions and it doesn't. The truth can't be organized. I can't pick it up and say, hey, I've got the truth. And if you give me so much, I'll give you it. I can't construct it. I can't put it into language and say, this is what it is. But I know it by its force. I know it because it frees me up. I know it because it opens up my heart. And that preciousness of truth, it makes the self's sense of connection or disconnection, connection meaning absorption, disconnection when the self is viewing things, it makes it much more comfortable. And therefore, there is the embrace. I know it's not easy to follow, hang in. There's the embrace of the non-dual. Everyday mind says, self, other, self, other, self and my mind state, self and my body, self and other people, self and environment, self and dancing, self and love making, self and meditating, that, that, that. And one seems to be constantly going back and forwards in the dichotomy between one and the other. A non-dual understanding knows it goes on, is really awake to it, and has finally embraced it. The fight, the struggle is over with it. And therefore, as a human being, we can be free to be completely absorbed in something. And we can be free to step back from and view it. We can be free to be really at one with the experience, in all the examples I gave you. And we can be free just to step back, which will happen naturally, and view it and see what the relationship is to it. And therefore we can embrace separation and oneness without any excessive value on one over the other, because it's non-dual. It's truly non-dual, truly liberating. With the dance, the healthy self actually, when the dance ends, or in the dance, the healthy self enjoys the dance. Doesn't care too much whether the form is neat and correct. Doesn't care too much what other people might be thinking about it. One enjoys the dance. It would be too easy to make the primary interest the absorption into the dance, with all the energy, the passion, the love, the flow, flowing. It's not, this is important here, it's not the absorption into the dance, wonderful as it is, that is so important. It communicates to us something which is free. There's a sense of freedom in the dance. And this sense of freedom in the dance embraces the dance and the dancer. That's what it, therefore it's non-dual. The freedom of being is the non-dual embrace of the dancer and the dance. And we are free. We are free with the event. We have an awareness that the event is held by the non-event. We love what is present, and we love what is not here. Because what is not here makes it possible to be here. We could not be here without the not here. So we don't cling to the here and now, because the here and now belongs to the duality of here and now and not here and now. We embrace all, and sometimes the meditators are trying too hard to be mindful here and now. Too much on one side of the duality. And when we're on one side of the duality, trying to be here and now all the time, it will feed the judgmental mind. It has to. Because deep inside, one is never happy living in the duality of separation. They're never happy in it. And therefore the non-dual is to embrace the here and now and the not here and now. To embrace it so much and so equally, one can put hand on heart and say, there is not a drop of difference between life and death. That is what non-dual is about. An extraordinary thing about this, not extraordinary, but extraordinary or beautiful, is it is such a release in the embrace. It's the most beautiful of all embraces, that it releases happiness. And this happiness doesn't seem to have anything to do with the event. It doesn't have anything to do with self and absorption. It doesn't have anything to do with whether I'm really present or I'm not. It doesn't have anything to do with whether I regard my life as successful or unsuccessful or whatever. Happiness seems to come somewhere else, from somewhere else. And it's like truth. I can't organize it. I can't say, okay, I think I'll bring a bit of happiness in here. Myself realizes it can't just say, like the tap, I'll turn the tap on and have some happiness. Self can't say, okay, I'll just have lots of happiness now. And doesn't know where it comes from. But in the release from the pressure of self and other, and the freedom that it brings, it brings a happiness that goes with it. And the power of truth is it puts an end to the idea I am a victim. Puts an end to the idea I am a survivor. Puts an end to the idea I am a doer. Because we've looked into the event and we've looked outside of it. And we just see, this is the self arising like this with regard to the other. And no matter how grim and difficult a situation may be, and how hard it is for us that it may be, the light, and I mean the light of awareness will always reveal much more than what the suffering is. Always. So I may say to myself, I am a victim. I am a survivor. I am a doer. And if we actually bring some light of awareness to the situation, we will keep seeing all the exceptions to the belief. We will keep noticing again and again, hey, in this situation, I'm not the victim, I'm not the survivor, and I'm not the doer. And if we keep noticing that, those constructions cannot last any longer. Why? We looked outside the event. And without the support of the other, they would collapse. Even sometimes in great grief, and I mean great grief and sorrow that's going on inside, it isn't unusual for a deep inner voice to actually come through deep within our being, which informs us and tells us this is life. It's not so bad. It will pass. It's just a difficult moment. It's just the events that are going on. And that deep movement entering into the situation, into the event, is the voice of truth. And its empowerment takes the problem out of the event. We can be in a crisis, all kinds of crisis, and deep down the voice will say to us, despite everything that's happening, there's more to life than this. And there is. So no matter how deep the sorrow, no matter how deep the pain, it can never go deeper than the awareness and the truth which liberates. It can never be that deep. No matter what it feels like in the body, in the feelings, in the sensations, the awareness will reveal. And the awareness is the light which is greater than the event. And through that awareness, the truth will come, and we will feel deeply okay with what is. And it will transform it. And therefore our awareness of the non-dual means essentially that the duality called self and other, self and absorption, is that we take an interest in not which is looked at, but the light which is revealing it. The awareness which reveals is more significant than that which is revealed. And this is to be fully human then, fully conscious. And in that awareness which reveals, in the nature of that awareness, is at the non-dual and great liberation. May all beings live with awareness. May all beings see into the nature of things. May all beings live with great freedom and deep happiness. Let's have our quiet minute, shall we?